Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody. We're drilling down with my man, Will Hurd. We're fresh off of our little jaunt to South by Southwest in his backyard in the great state of Texas in Austin, where actually by happenstance, I ran into Will. I was hanging out with a mutual buddy, and he was going over to meet at that. What that mutual buddy, by the way, was Congressman Peter Mayer. we were having some fun. Dude, in this book, you talk about the things that we need to do, and you lay out, again, we've touched on, X marks the spark, kind of, get off the X and then move accordingly, the kind of leadership that's required in order to do the things that need to be done. Let's get into some of the big things you think the country should be looking at right now. You're in the cyberspace. Clearly, there are some enormous challenges there for this country. We take a lot for granted in the cyberspace. And I mean, just the easy baseline one-off stuff is, okay, change your passcode from I love mom to something a little bit more complicated. Yeah. All right. So there's that level, but then there's bigger stuff as we've seen now narratives evolving in the war in Ukraine around what Russia will or will not do, how the various NATO alliance allied countries will respond in a cyberspace. That's a big thing that has huge ramifications on jobs, markets, economy. What are some of the other things? Talk about that, but then what are some of the other big things that we need to be getting done right now?
America has become an exceptional nation because, not because of what we have taken, but because of what we have given, right? And since the end of World War II, our willingness to give a helping hand. And truly, up until that point, we have, I can make an argument that we have been isolationists more than we have been outward thinking, right? And yes, we all know what George Washington said, don't get involved and don't get intertangled with the affairs of other people. But that was a very different world back then.
Right.
The world is interconnected. And we created a international community, right? A international standards and norms that have allowed America to be the greatest nation has ever been able to see on this planet, right? What we've done with NATO and with the Marshall Plan, we had 70 years of peace and prosperity in Europe. And what did that do? That allowed us to sell and buy products with, right? Half of the world's GDP is between Europe and America, right? That's an important, that has been important to our livelihood and to our well-being. And when America uses our military might and our economic might to enforce this international order, it's good for everyone. When we retreat from that responsibility, what happens? The world gets messed up, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we're seeing what's happening in these places. So I like to boil it down to something real simple. Your enemies should fear you and your friends should love you. Right.
And not very complicated, folks.
It's complicated, right? But that also requires us to understand who our friends and enemies are.
Right.
Right. And I can make arguments all the way back to George W. Bush that administrations have gotten their enemies, thought their enemies were their friends and their friends were their enemies. Right.
Saudi Arabia comes to mind, but that's I digress.
Look,
just me. I'm just saying.
The Obama administration thought Israel was the relationship between the Obama administration and Israel was so bad.
Yeah.
It caused Israel to start working with our Sunni Arab partners, yeah, right? Which that's how bad it was. Like, okay, right. We got to solve this other thing, right? Because it's so bad with America. And so foreign affairs is not foreign, right? We're in an interconnected world. And right now, part of this also, when I see what's happening in Russia, on a scale of 1 to 10, what the Russians are doing in Ukraine, I can call it a 4. Their ability to unleash hell on the Ukrainians, they still have a lot of ability to do that, right? And we, America, has the opportunity to prevent significant loss of life, right? And everybody wants to talk about escalation. This could escalate based on what? Based on assumptions we made back in the 80s. And it's impossible to try to predict second, third, and fourth order effects. But we can start with first principles and say, prevent the loss of life. And then we're going to be prepared to deal with that. Because you know who else is watching how things are unfolding in Ukraine? The Chinese.
Chinese, yeah.
And let's also, before I get off Russia, the longer this goes on, is going to continue to have a destabilizing effect on Eastern Europe. Because you have Eastern European countries that are populist, is dealing with the threat of war, you know, living in a society in which you're afraid that tomorrow there's going to be war, that has an impact on the community.
Yeah.
Two, they're dealing with the counter effects of sanctions, right? It's the closer you are to Russia, the harder the sanctions impact you. And three, the growing humanitarian crisis, potentially up to 4 million people. All of those things are going to put pressures on these governments in Eastern Europe that at one point they're going to be like, this ain't worth it. And they're going to say, F Ukraine, right? And then that means Putin wins. And so the longer this draws out, this actually has destabilizing effects for the rest of us. And why is China watching this? China's watching this because they're going to figure out how to invade Taiwan,
yep,
one way or the other.
Yep.
Why does Taiwan matter? Taiwan, if China invaded Taiwan, and the Chinese government is going to own 70% of the semiconductor manufacturing in the world. Why does that matter? Because semiconductors are the building block
everything.
Of everything,
yes.
Right?
Everything.
Not just your phone, not just your smart car, not just your laptop, but your freaking refrigerator,
yep,
right? And if you yep think it's hard to get stuff now, it's going to be even harder there. And when you get it, the cost is going to be outrageous, right? And why would the Chinese government do this? Because they've made it very clear that they're trying to surpass the United States as the global superpower. This is not my opinion.
It's fact.
This is not me laying in bed at night pontificating on the world. This is not me being back in the CIA collecting intelligence. This is what the Chinese government has said about themselves in English. Right. And so look, competition's okay. The US and China can coexist. And by the way, my beef is with the government of China, not the Chinese people.
Right.
Definitely not Chinese Americans. The hate our Asian brothers and sisters have been seeing. It's just unreal, right? And so it's very specific. It's the Chinese government. And so I want to make sure that the US economy stays the most important economy in the world. I want to make sure that it's American culture that permeates everywhere, right? Like I always thought everyone was talking about the Olympics and that young lady from California,
right?
That played the skier that played for the Chinese. Look, 18-year-old girl making a decision. Okay, come on. I'm not going to get too involved in that. However, why did the president of China put the full court press on getting that 18-year-old girl to wear the Chinese, yeah, the red, yeah, of the Chinese? Why? Yeah. Because Xi Jinping knows exactly what soft power and how important soft power is, right? And so these are the things that we're dealing with.
How come it seems we don't? How come it seems that our leaders not only are playing a short game, The Chinese are executing policies that they designed 100 years ago, 300 years ago. I mean, for them, it's a long game. But not only are we not playing the short game, we're not playing it well when we do. What is it that we need to be thinking about and doing here to step up our game on that stage? I mean, when you... I mean, because you just laid out very clearly in 60 seconds the dynamic between Russia, China, with the U.S. sort of sitting there going, I don't know, you know, do we go and give the Ukrainians bombs? And oh my God, the technology. I mean, why do we seem more inept today than we did a generation ago? Reagan could look the Russians in the eye and go, tear down this damn wall, because if you don't do it, we will, right? Mm-hmm. And yet you get to a moment with Barack Obama, and he says, all right, well, if you want Crimea, that's okay, you can have it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand what's going on.
So
and a lot of Americans don't understand.
Sure. At a very basic way, it's hubris. It is people automatically assuming we're always going to be the greatest, right? That people automatically assuming that there's no way we can get kicked off of our perch. It's also an ignorance of not knowing what is the source of American power, and that how our alliances have made this important. Look, the Chinese government and the Russians, they don't have alliances. They have people that work for them, right? They don't have friends, right? And look, the amount of construction that the Chinese government has done in Africa. And part of that is to get some of the resources.
Don't even get
and they've been
started.
Doing this for decades. They've been doing it for decades, God. Right? But guess what? Most people in those countries, most Africans in the various African countries don't like the Chinese.
Don't want the Chinese there. They want to do business with Americans. And I've been telling American businesses for the last 20 years, my first foray into Africa was in 1999. And since that time, trying to network American businesses on the continent, we have the same old colonial attitude that the Europeans had, is, well, it's too dangerous, it's too risky, they don't know really how to do. I mean, Africa has evolved in such a way, and the Chinese have figured it out.
Yep.
The Pakistanis, yep. the Indians, the French, everybody else has figured it out. So you're absolutely right.
Look, I spent my term in the CIA, my job was recruit spies, steal secrets, best job on the planet, okay? And I started, my career started in October of 2000, the day of the USS Cole bombing. And that was the Navy destroyer off the coast of Yemen, in a little town called Aden. And it was done by Al-Qaeda. And then my last tour, 9.5 years later, was in Afghanistan, where I ran all of our undercover operations in the country. And there was this rare earth mineral mine in Afghanistan. Some accounts, it was over $2 trillion. And nobody figured out how to use that. Like, look, that was a great resource for the country. You know, if Afghanistan was known more for rare earth minerals than they were for poppy, how good would that be? And guess what? We couldn't get our act together. You know what the Chinese are trying to do now?
Yeah.
Mine that rare earth mineral.
Of course
mine,
they are.
Right?
Of course they are.
And so to your question is, we have forgotten the importance of this. We have forgotten how our soft power. And look, when in the national security circles, we call this public diplomacy, right? And public diplomacy is carried on by more than just government officials, right? Our businesses are some of the, like, are those brands? How many people around the world, when you say America, they're going to say Coca-Cola, right? Because that's one of our most iconic brands. And so then when you look at some of our digital companies, right, where we're fighting with some of the big tech companies, and look, tech companies have a lot of problems, don't get me wrong,
right.
We can't be doing better, but we should be figuring out how that technology is used to uplift humanity, right? And guess what? The way we do it is going to be a lot better than the way the Chinese government does it, because we know what they're going to do, right? They're already putting the Uyghurs in Xinjiang province in slave labor camps. They're already, why are they exporting all this technology to places like Africa and other authoritarian governments? Because they want more data. Why should we care about the national security implication of TikTok? Mike, I'm sorry. I don't care if you do some funny dance on your TikTok, okay? I don't care, right? Yeah. But all that data that is going in is training some algorithm, right?
Right.
That the Chinese are going to always have more data. And when it comes to, Vladimir Putin said, whoever masters the AI is going to master the world. He said that back in 2014. And that's probably the only thing he and I agree on. And AI needs a couple of things. It needs power.
Yeah.
It needs computing capacity. It needs data, and it needs algorithm. The more data you have, the better off you're going to be. That's why the Chinese government is sucking everything up. And so then you're going to have a super powerful tool that is designed by a hostile adversary. And then we're going to have to learn and use those tools because those become the biggest thing. Like, I would rather have a conversation with American social media companies about what they're doing to make sure they're protecting their users than trying to have one with a Chinese company, right? And so we've just forgotten our role in the rest of the world and how that impacts us. That look, the having alliances helps us put food on our table, a roof over our head, and make sure the people we love are healthy and happy. All of these things are connected.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
All right, America, you asked for it. Maybe you didn't, but either way, we have to talk. You're just in kind of a crazy place right now, Mr. and Mrs. USA. So, we are going to sit down a couple of times a week and work it out between us. The way Americans do. On a podcast. Hosted by Beowulf Rocklin. Weird name. Weird news. Weird politics. Weird country. Facepalm America. Listen to Facepalm America, a podcast that laughs at America and its politics, from Beowulf Rocklin, producer of The Rick Unger Show. Facepalm America, available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever you download your digital distractions in audio form.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.